Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our Bible prophecy study titled, When Will the Rapture Happen? This is part 2 of 2.
They are so blind, so wicked and dark that they make Jesus the Antichrist, basically. This is the Antichrist who comes, it says, with a bow. He has power and he conquers, but he does so with peace. Just like Hitler did up until after he invaded Poland. Up until then, Hitler came and didn't have to kill people. The concentration camps weren't even in operation and all that. He was conquering in peace. He had a big mouth and people were suckers. And they took everything he said, and one after another, countries just welcomed him. Come on in. He'd go riding in with his tanks, but the people of that country would applaud him as he came in to take over. That's just a tiny taste of the diplomacy that the Antichrist will use to conquer. And listen, folks, the people are so stupid at that point, kind of like America electing Obama. People are so stupid at that point, they don't understand that they've elected somebody, they've adopted a leader who is their enemy. And they are going to applaud this man who comes in peace. And it's the beginning of the wrath of God. You realize sometimes when we think prosperity, it's wonderful, it's actually the judgment of God.
Yeah. Amen.
The wrath of the Lamb begins with the six seals. And the six seals begin with the Antichrist.
Yeah.
As soon as the Antichrist rules, you're seeing the unfolding of the wrath of God. Do you understand that point?
Amen.
Because there are people going to come to you and try to convince you that the rapture can't happen at any moment, and the Christians are going to go through the first half of the tribulation because the wrath doesn't start until halfway through the tribulation. No, false. The wrath begins with the Antichrist.
Amen.
And the Antichrist being revealed is really what marks off the very beginning of the tribulation itself. The Antichrist is revealed when he confirms the Mosaic covenant, restoring temple sacrifice, and that begins the 7-year countdown.
Amen.
Now, folks, some of you are new to this, maybe. Some of you listening online or wherever might be new to this. You need to take notes. You need to be able to, you need to review this. You need to get this down.
Amen.
Satan is destroying the faith of God's people in the Word of God, and one of the doctrines he hates most is this that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
The idea that every Christian would look every day expecting Jesus to return. Satan hates that.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Antichrist himself begins the wrath of God. He is the very beginning. His revelation of the Antichrist is the beginning of the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week, whatever term you want to use for it, that begins the wrath of God. We don't have time to go over there, but if you study Daniel chapter 9, Gabriel, the angel, is talking to Daniel, and he's telling him, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. Now, I want to nail that down because I'm sorry, but there's a lot of teachers who seem to be very well taught or knowledgeable in a lot of areas, and they just don't seem to get it. When Daniel, or Gabriel the angel talking to Daniel, refers to the covenant, there's only one the covenant, and that's the Mosaic covenant. And that's what makes the 70th week the 70th week. The 69 weeks that ended when Jesus the Messiah was cut off, that 69th week, it was under Mosaic law. And what makes the 70th week the 70th week is that Mosaic law being reinstituted. The temple appears again. Blood animal sacrifice is taking place on the Temple Mount again.
Amen.
And then midway through the 70th week, the Antichrist is going to walk in there and stop the sacrifice, the abomination that makes desolate. And there's just so many people that say, well, I don't understand that. I don't see how you get that. I don't really... Fine, go off about yourself and float in the clouds, but I'm not going to join you. It is what it is. It says what it says.
Amen.
And the Bible is clear that we are not appointed to the time of God's wrath.
Amen.
So ask yourself a question. When does God's wrath start? It starts with the revelation of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
The revelation of the Antichrist starts the tribulation countdown of 7 years, and so we're not appointed to that time.
Amen.
Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you're going to have to write these down and go back and look at them if you're not clear on it, but you can always listen to our studies. I'll give you a little glimpse of that at the end of our study. We make these available online. You can go listen to them over and over and over until you get it. BBFOhio.com, BBFOhioRadio.com. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 9, it just says clearly, plainly, a verse that you ought to mark, by the way, if you haven't marked it in your Bible. Read that with me. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that clear enough?
Amen.
You have not been appointed for wrath. Verse 10 and 11, read those. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Isn't that comforting? God saved you and has not appointed you to wrath. Now, that's not the same as persecution. Christians have always been persecuted. And there are some dunderheads out there who act like America will never suffer persecution. American Christians, that's baloney. And some of you, if you're not careful of what I'm saying, you'll think I'm contradicting myself. But it's a fact. America could turn into a socialist country and start locking you people up tomorrow. What this is about is God's wrath. And we have not been appointed to God's wrath. And the 70th week of Daniel, the Great Tribulation, isn't about persecution. It's about God's wrath.
Amen.
So on the one hand, you should expect, the Bible says, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution.
Yeah.
So if you're living sold out for the Lord, you're going to suffer persecution.
Amen.
If you're not suffering persecution, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Amen.
But that's not God doing it. That's man. See the difference? And so that's what we're looking at, is we do not have to go through God's wrath in Daniel's 70th week. That's also why it's called the Blessed Hope.
Amen.
And I've told you, I have some differences with Tim LaHaye and some of the Left Behind books. And they got I think the Pope is raptured. And they've got, yeah, and there's a bunch of people who understood the gospel and rejected it, but then after the rapture they get saved. I don't believe that's going to happen.
Amen.
I believe if you understand the gospel right now and you reject it right now, that when the rapture happens, you're handed over to a strong delusion. I believe that.
Amen.
We don't have time to get into it, but it's already on other messages if you watch our other messages on this. But one thing Tim LaHaye said that I really liked, and that is that if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, you turn the blessed hope into a blasted hope. And I agree with that assessment. Titus 2:13, we're told to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we've got to wait for the Antichrist to show up, start marking everybody, start cutting off heads, the seals and the trumpets and the vials, we're not looking for the blessed hope. We're looking out for our own rear ends. And trying to figure out who the Antichrist is and how we can hide from him.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's false teaching.
Amen.
Paul would have said, hey man, at any moment this man of sin is going to show up and start killing y'all. Dig and dig deep. Dig often. Amen. We do know this. Daniel's 70th week is near. That means the rapture is imminent.
Amen.
Imminent. Is that a word? I didn't say M&Ms. Imminent. Imminent is a word that is not used often enough among Christian circles. It means hanging over, impending, threatening, near, appearing as if about to fall on. These are all ways of describing it. Look, it says here, used of evils, as in danger, imminent judgments, evils, or death. You say, well, why would you use that with the rapture? Because while the rapture is a wonderful event for you and I as believers, it is devastating to those left behind.
Amen.
When we say the rapture is imminent, as a believer, we're like, any moment, all right, let's go.
Amen.
To the world, we're saying, your days are numbered.
Yeah.
It's about to fall on your head.
Right. Yep.
You're about to experience the worst dark age of human history. So when the rapture is imminent, when you're talking to the unsaved world, it's not a blessed hope to them. We get no better sense of this than from a plain reading of Matthew 24 is knocking at the door, which is why we know the rapture has got to be close.
Amen.
And you see, and when you see these guys like this David Mead and these other people telling everybody, ooh, September 23rd, 2017, and all these... That's another confirmation. You understand Jesus said that would be a sign that you're getting toward the end, because false prophets and false Christs and false teachers would increase. Folks, that's about all you're getting these days. And so-called Christian TV is heretic TV. Only about 1 in 20 on there is worth ever looking at.
Amen.
And so it gets frustrating, it can make you angry, but you also can say, it's got to be getting close. We got to be getting close. And we have to explain, for the sake of those who teach that Matthew 24 is only about the tribulation, I don't believe so. If you look at the context, you understand, I'm thankful for the chapter markings and verse markings that helps us get around in our Bible. But when God inspired Matthew, the words that Matthew wrote, he didn't have chapters. And so he jumps from one context to another. And the key to understanding Matthew, like the rest of the Bible, is keep an eye on the context. So when you go through Matthew, the first 8 verses are actually talking about what goes down before the tribulation. Then you pick up in verse 9 through 31, it describes the tribulation itself. Then you pick up in verses 32 through 34, and it has basically, it reflects upon the implications of the tribulation to those who are alive at the time Jesus is talking, and really to all of us who are alive before the tribulation happens. And then from verses 45 to 51, it talks about the end result of the tribulation and the judgment that takes place at the end of the tribulation. So with that quick and basic introduction, in verse 36, he's talking, you look at map there, the outline there, it's during the reflection. In light of what is going to happen in the tribulation, you need to consider these things. And as he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now I could, if you have any sense, and I believe most of you here do, and you believe the Word of God, and I believe most, if not all of you here do, then I just gave you all you need so that you will never fall for the date setters right there. That's enough. Someone tells you they know when the end of the world is or when the rapture is, laugh at them. You're a nut. Amen.
Yep.
Or you're following a nut. Because a lot of people are just following some other man who's teaching that stuff. Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man.
Amen.
No man. Say that with me. No man. If the rapture is not imminent, but as at the end of the tribulation period, then we would know exactly when the rapture happens. All you have to do is mark the day on your calendar when Antichrist confirms the covenant. The rapture would then take place exactly 7 years to the day afterwards. Do you know that? I'm giving you undeniable evidence for the pre-trib rapture, that the rapture is not at the end of the tribulation, but could happen at any moment.
Amen.
He also says in verse 44, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. If it was at the end of the tribulation, he would say, watch therefore, because you know when to start your countdown, and you'll know the exact day. But he doesn't say that, does he? He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Here's a little meme I saw online. It was pretty funny. How to accurately predict the exact date of Christ's second coming. I would change that to rapture. How to accurately predict the exact date of the rapture. Step one, don't. That's, if you want to accurately, I'm here to tell you when the rapture is going to happen. When you don't think it will.
Amen.
In an hour you think not. That's when the rapture is going to happen. Anybody tries to give you a date, they're goofy.
Amen.
Just turn them off. No man, no prophecy teacher, no prophet, I put in quotes, can tell you the date of the rapture.
Amen.
And it's just going to save you a lot of heartache and a lot of money and a lot of time. I know some of these people get caught up in this stuff, and that's all they do. Go looking on YouTube and blogs and everything, looking for anything they can see on it. And they're like, oh, look at that. Yeah. Jesus said this. These are some of the last words before Jesus was raptured. Jesus ascended into heaven. And in Acts 1:7, he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power." Now, does that mean, well, if you just look at the constellations and the way the planets line up, and if you then look at the Bible prophecy and do the math, and then, of course, the Feast of Israel. We talked about that Wednesday night. Folks, the Feast of the Lord were given to Israel forever. You're the church. You're not Israel. Stop trying to steal their feasts.
Amen.
All these. How many of you know Christians who claim to follow the feasts? You know, they're liars.
Amen.
You can't follow the feasts. Go back and read the instructions. You got to kill animals, shed their blood, and you have to have a temple.
Yeah.
The Passover, you're supposed to slice the throat of a perfect little cute little lamb. How many of your Jewish and Messianic Jew and Gentile numbskulls who claim to be taking part in a Passover Seder, how many of you ever seen them kill a lamb? There are a small group over in Israel doing that now, by the way, but they still can't take it to the temple.
Yeah.
So they can't be observing the Passover. It's impossible. You know what they have in the Seder now? An egg. An egg. Yeah. They don't have a lamb, but they have an egg. If we had to wait until some or all of the tribulation events take place before the rapture, these verses you've been reading along with me, they'd be meaningless. If we had to wait for all these events and we could see when all, in all, okay, now that the seals, trumpets, and vials and 90 out of 100 of us are dead, let's comfort one another with these words. After the rapture, God's focus is on who?
Israel.
And so then signs come back into emphasis. We pointed out in Revelation 12 on Wednesday, it's not a sign. It was called a wonder. And if you don't know the difference, you need to do a study on signs and wonders. They're not the same.
Amen.
And a sign is not for you Gentiles or saved Jews in the church.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians 1:22, read that with me. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." You're not a Jew.
Amen.
And if you're a Jewish DNA saved person, you are in the church of God.
Amen.
You're going up with us Gentiles at the rapture.
Amen.
But then after the rapture, the 70th week picks up where the 69th week left off. The Mosaic law is back in force. There's going to be a temple, there's going to be sacrifice, and the Jews will require a sign. Again.
Yes.
Not until then.
Amen.
The tribulation signs are for Jews, which is why Jeremiah said this about the tribulation in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble.
Amen.
But he shall be saved out of it. Jacob is Israel.
Amen.
Not the church.
Amen.
It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Quit trying to take the wrath of God and the judgment of God that's reserved for Israel and put it on the church.
Amen.
That's the most insane thing about this. You want the church to go through a time where Jacob's going to be saved, but it's a remnant that's saved. Two-thirds of the Jews are destroyed.
Right.
And at the end, those who remain are saved. But they go through quite an ordeal to get there. There are no signs before the rapture. Say that with me. But there are no signs before the rapture.
Amen.
The rapture could happen at any moment. There are no signs for it. Now I want to say this. We see the Daniel 70th week, as I said. It's kind of like Christmas. You see, now probably already in stores are putting up Christmas decorations. They don't wait till after Halloween now. You ain't been in stores lately, Stephen. Used to be, when I was a kid, it was Halloween, and then they put up Christmas decorations. Well, let's just follow the good old days here for this analogy. When I was a kid, and Halloween came, I was never really crazy about it. I liked the candy, but somehow my bag would really disappear real quick. I think Mom and Dad had something to do with that. Mom. Clark bars. Mom was really into the Clark bars. But anyway, it was like the day or within the week after Halloween when we'd go to the store, I'd see Christmas stuff up. But you know what that told me? Thanksgiving is coming. See? And as a kid, Thanksgiving was all right, but it meant once we get through that, it's all about Christmas. I'm hearing an echo. That's the way, when it comes to looking at the stage being set for the tribulation period, Daniel 70th week, the world government, the cashless society, all these things, it tells you the rapture is getting close.
Amen.
Just like Thanksgiving gets close when you see the Christmas decorations up. And I want to end with this. Maranatha, the Lord come.
Amen.
That was a greeting that Christians used during the times of the apostles, and early Christians used this petition. It wasn't just like, hey, howdy. You know, it was a petition. You were actually saying, the Lord come. It was a desire. And they used it as a salutation to remind each other that Jesus could come back at any moment.
Amen.
That's like what we, our version is, here, there, in the air. What's that mean? Well, we might see you here at church, or I might see you out there somewhere, or we may meet in the air.
Amen.
And that's really what they were saying here. They didn't say, the Lord come after all hell breaks loose. That's what they would have said if we had to wait till after the tribulation. They didn't say that. The Lord come. And they wanted it at any moment. They also said that to warn unbelievers of the impending wrath of the Lamb. If you heard a Christian say that and you weren't saved, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
See? Paul said it here in 1 Corinthians 16:22. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. How many of you knew that was in your Bible? It's in there. 1 Corinthians 16:22. He just cursed people if they don't love Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, that's not very Christ-like. No, I don't walk up to people and say, the Lord curse you! Because Paul didn't do that. But it is a statement of fact. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, he's accursed.
Amen.
And the Lord's coming soon.
Amen.
That's what Paul's saying. The rapture could happen at any moment.
Amen.
Say it with me.
The rapture could happen at any moment.
And the nuttiness, people say, oh, that causes people to just go to sleep and not. They're nuts. I wake up every day and Jenny will tell you, it's really hard. I'm not. Please don't take this as boasting. I'm just trying to tell you. I think of the any moment rapture, and it keeps me from even wanting to take a day off. I don't want to not do anything. And Jenny's like, you need a day. Even God took a day off, Greg. And it's good for you. So you have to have balance. Amen. But it's not easy. And there aren't very many times where I actually get through the whole day without doing something. Because I just think, well, you can come back today. I wake up in the morning and I take my little vitamins and my one little allergy pill I take. And I swallow that thing down. And I think, man, that could be the last time I have to swallow that stupid thing. And then I go in and I shave. Sebby hates that thing. He goes running off and hiding. And I get done, and I'm like, nice. Slick it. I'm like, that took like 10 minutes. That may be the last time I have to shave that head. Next time you see me, I'm going to have hair like Jenny. White like wool. Amen. And if you will wake up every day thinking this biblical truth, the Bible says it has a purifying effect. There's many verses we're not going to get into this morning because of time. I'm already running past. Some of you are looking at your watch. I'm just telling you, there's so much more to this that we can't cover this morning, but it says it has a purifying effect. If you will wake up every day, no, you would never backslide. You know, there's days where I've backslidden. Do you know that? I'm going to confess to you right now. There are days where I've not woke up with the right attitude, and I'll about lunchtime or a little after, and I'll think, man, I'm slipping today. You know what every one of those days have in common? I didn't wake up thinking, perhaps today. I didn't wake up thinking Jesus could come today. It's the days I do think of that where I'm on. And I believe that's true biblically and practically. I believe that's true of all of us. And it's true if you're a Bible believer. Bible believers expect Jesus at any moment. Amen. If you're a Bible believer, I believe that. Just real quick, I want to read a few of these verses. We don't have time to go into detail. But Jesus said, Mark 13, we studied this, verses 35, 37, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen. Every day of your life. Romans 13, 11, and 12, Paul wrote this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. You say, when's the rapture going to happen? Well, it's sooner now than it was when I started. Amen. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. 1 Corinthians 1:7, he says, so that ye come behind in no gift, what? Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, be busy because the Antichrist is coming soon. It's going to get ugly. That's not what he says. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians, we'll study in a few weeks, chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who you think the Antichrist is. I'm 99.999% sure it's the final pope. I don't think it's Francis. I think there's one more at least coming, but whoever the last pope is, I believe is the Antichrist. And you know what? I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for Jesus.